as he is in this world, so are we. So we, as he is in this world, so are we.
Who me?
As he is in this world, so are we.
So are me?
As he is in this world, so are we.
So are we?
As he is in this world, so are we.
So are we?
As he is in this world, so are we.
Who me?
As he is in this world, so are we.
True indeed,
as he is in this world, so are we.
Get it?
You know his love is sufficient. Ask for a blessing, he send it. To not believe is indignant. Full of grace, can you dig it? He can't be mocked, so don't try it. You think you can and you frying. Satan lies, but don't buy it. To know his love, I'm excited. Release. While falling to my knees, feel like flowing through the breeze, just like Christopher Reeves. Gotta practice what we preach, cause this world could be a beach built on a rock, so storms they won't breach. Say love, y'all know that's what he is. Blesses us with his gifts, cause we are indeed his kids. Peace, he is the son of man. We don't always understand, but need to follow his plan. Pray, it's how we talk to our dad. When we do it, he is glad. Best feeling we can have.
Faith,
we don't have it, we're a mess. Go through trials to get a test, but we pass and get blessed.
Get it.
You are now riding with the Dashboard Pastor, aka DBP. So strap in, get your mind ready, and let's roll.
What is up? What's going on, peeps? It's me, Anthony, the Dashboard Pastor, and I would like to welcome you to another episode of the DBP. Well, as I mentioned last week in a series, the series Spiritual Warfare, and this part of it is connected to last week. We talked about knowing who your enemy was. This week we're talking about the strategies. And I read the Bible verse last week, but I'll read it again just to keep context of where what was being talked about and where we're going. So it's Ephesians 6:12, and it says, "We are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against the evil spirits in heavenly places." If you don't know what the evil spirits in heavenly places are, essentially what that is saying is demons. The angels that decided to leave to go with Satan when he rebelled against God. I first wanted to say something, speaking about Satan, a misnomer, because when we talk about things like spiritual warfare, people might believe that I'm saying that there's this battle against God and the devil, and that's where that's what this battle is. I want you to know that this is not a battle with God and the devil. Satan is not on the same level as God. So it is not God fighting against Satan. It is Satan fighting, as I think I might have alluded to this a little bit. It's Satan fighting to keep that which he thinks is his, which the earth. Is Satan fighting to stop us from doing God's work? But no confusion, this is not a battle that God and the devil are fighting. This is us. This is us fighting a battle. This is angels fighting amongst each other, let's call it that. But I do want to stress that it's not God versus the devil. I also wanted to touch on the fact that when speaking about all of this, you know, how this started, how the fall, Adam and Eve, we often get frustrated with Adam and Eve, thinking that, you know, why did you do what you did? How come you... Sorry about that. Apparently that stoplight was a bad spot. anyway. We tend to look at Adam and Eve from the standpoint of, that was foolish of you. Why did you do that and get mad? I want to add that we do that all the time. Essentially, God told Adam and Eve, all this is yours except for this tree here. That's the only tree I don't want you to eat anything from. All the rest of this is yours. So, I want you to do this. They did the opposite. If you look at it from that standpoint, it's not a, God, I can't believe they did that. It's a, man, I have a lot in common with them. I also wanted to add that. Now, strategies. That's where I was, my main focal point. Strategies of the enemy. One of the key things when thinking about spiritual warfare is, and strategies, is the concept of having one of those days. When you just have one of those days. And those days, just, you know what I'm saying when I go into that. You know, nothing is going right. Everything is going wrong. I want to say that before I get more into what I'm into this, I will say that just not every attack that you get is spiritual warfare. I will start with that. Not every attack is spiritual warfare. Not everything is that. But when you feel like everything is falling in on you, that'd be a pretty safe bet to know that you are under attack. And this is some spiritual warfare going on. And you know, stuff like, I guess, examples, and it doesn't always have to be drastic. It doesn't always have to be something terrible. Some examples, you know, if you have money, you know, your bank account, you're counting on something and you placed everything in there, and then all of a sudden something hits your account on the wrong day. Or different things hit your account on the wrong day. For someone like me, multiple cars cutting you off. Like, regardless of where you're going, how you're driving, and it's happening all the time. Like, let's say, we'll just say in one day for the purposes of what we're talking about. So every time you get in the car, every time you drive somewhere, people are cutting you off. And not just cutting you off and like hitting the brakes in front of you. Working, you know, work all of a sudden getting very busy and not in a productive, this is great way, but you know, in a, oh, this is silly, why are we doing this sort of way? Or all of a sudden, when you are working, you put some things into place, and everything around that and everyone involved around that is going around, is coming against you for your ideas, for the decisions you've made, for even the work that you've put in. When your house all of a sudden is in chaos, and I'm not saying, you know, because I'm not saying, I'll just stick with chaos. When your house all of a sudden is in chaos. So essentially what I just said with that is, if your house, there's chaoticness in your house, there's chaoticness in your job, there's chaoticness in your finances. Pretty safe bet to say that you are under attack. And I have minimalized it to some degree because I don't want it to, again, it doesn't have to be somebody dying. It doesn't have to be you know, a deadly disease. It doesn't have to be, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars lost. It doesn't have to be huge like that. It's just got to affect you. And these are things. Now, to tie this to the reason that these things, I forgot one before I say what I was about to say. I talked about chaos in your home, chaos at work, chaos in your money, in your finances. I also wanted to point out, when I was talking about Adam and Eve doing what they were doing, an instance that I can relate to with that is junk food. I know that I need to stop eating, or at least minimalize what I'm intaking with junk food. I know that if I overconsume it, it's going to hurt me. I know this. And yet I continue to go back to it. So addictions are another way that you know that you are under attack. So now I'm going to say the thing that I skipped over. Satan attacks us in three ways: the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. And the things that I just talked about cover those three things. And those are the only ways that he knows to attack. He knows. Let me back up on that to go back to something I said last week, because I do stand by that. The devil himself isn't standing over every last one of us looking at this, because he doesn't have that ability. So Satan is not attacking me. Satan's army is attacking me. So the demon that is assigned to mess up my life has been watching me since in the womb. Has been studying me, taking notes. Because the one thing I want people to understand is the devil's not stupid. He's not stupid. He's limited, but not stupid. Foolish, not stupid. So then the people under him would then not be stupid. And so this, I know me saying demon is gonna mess with some people and they're gonna get all, but I mean, you gotta call a spade a spade. So this demon that has been watching me since I was in the womb, that watched me when I came out, that has been poking at me when I was too young to understand what was going on. This is why babies have a tendency to do things that are naughty without being taught. Because there is this being who is trying to push them to get them on a routine, to get them on this path. This path is to be prideful, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. So this being has been watching me as I've been growing up, throwing stuff out there to see what sticks. Okay, junk food, cool, we got that. Oh, hey, lust, got that. We'll throw that in there. Pride, okay, we got that. We'll throw that in there. And as I am been growing and progressing, these little things that were thrown in there to trip me up that worked are noted. Cool. I got that. So what this enemy does is then goes back to their notes, goes back to the notes and says, okay, I used to trip this man up with women. I'm gonna throw that at him. Oh crap, that didn't work. Okay, I gotta try something else. I used to throw pride at this dude, you know, things for him to be prideful over. That still sticks. Let me poke that. Let me poke that. Let me poke that. Let me poke that. And the pride is connected to another one, which is anger. we get angry because of this, you know, anger is a derivative of pride. So we're angry because our pride was hurt. So let me poke that. Let me poke that. Oh, by the way, this dude is a sucker for sugar. Let me throw that his way. Now, again, I'm minimalizing this so it doesn't have to be this grandiose thing all the time, because people hear spiritual warfare and they think it's got to be like Job, which that was, but it doesn't have to be on that level. It doesn't have to be Joseph in the Bible, not Jesus' dad, but Joseph, who ended up being ruler of Egypt, Joseph. That Joseph. It doesn't have to be that. It doesn't have to be what Paul went through in order for it to be spiritual warfare. If you've had any of what I was just talking about and how that affects you, regardless of what it is, if it's an addiction to whatever it is, whether it be alcohol, cigarettes, drugs, porn, whatever it is, that nagging poke is the attack. And if it gets harder at some point, there's a reason for that. If all of a sudden you are overconsumed by this, there's a reason for that. And then you throw in, oh, now I'm gonna hit his pockets, because in the past I've seen this cat, when money don't go right, I've seen him lose his mind. So I'm gonna poke that. Oh, I'm gonna make it a little uncomfortable for him at work. I'm gonna make people question him. I'm gonna make people go around him. Poke that pride button. These are the schemes in which I am speaking about. This, and I'm speaking for myself, because I know myself. I can't speak for what it is for you. I will say this, though. Because the enemy is not creative, because he cannot create, he has to use what passed. So, what I'm going to say is, whatever you have overcome, don't let your guard down over. Just because you've overcome something, don't mean that you can't be persuaded to pick it back up. So, things in the past that I was not able to overcome, that I have overcome, I haven't just thrown away. Which is why I speak about these things in this platform. That's why I will be quick to say that lust has been something, an attack that I have, you know, that I've struggled with. This is why I will say that addiction is something I struggle with. This is why I will talk about pride being something I've struggled with, because I'm not giving power to it, but I am keeping it in its proper context so that I can keep that, my eye on that. Because if you drop your guard and you think, I got this, that's when the enemy creeps in. It's like, oh, yep, watch this, bam. And then something that you ain't did for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, you find yourself doing again. Because it's not like the enemy's going to back off and be like, nah, well, that don't work. No, that doesn't work on him. It's waiting for the opportune time. As I said, this enemy takes notes. This enemy is studying us. This enemy has studied the Bible. This enemy will use the Bible against us in that miscontext, misquoting, to get us to be in a place of shame. So here's what I'm saying is this. The enemy will say, hey, you need to go over there. And there's nothing over there. I'm just pointing because I'm driving. There's traffic. You need to go over there. And you need to go off on that person, because that person did X, Y, or Z to you. You go over there. You go off on that person for X, Y, and Z. And then right after you do it, that same enemy is like, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You know you ain't supposed to be doing that. In fact, in the Bible, it says you should do this. So now, not only have I sinned, now I feel bad for the sin. Not only have I backslid, now I feel bad for the backsliding. This is all parts of this warfare that the enemy is doing to keep us off target, off keister, off track. Because if you've given yourself to Jesus, your salvation is locked. There's nothing he can do to stop your salvation. But what he can do is stop you from being productive for the kingdom. And because we are tripped up by our past, which is essentially what it is, we are tripped up by our past. When we mess up, here, another example I'll give you. As I struggle with trying to be better about the food I intake, junk food, as I struggle with that, I can be good for a week, 2 weeks, a month. And then something happens, whether it be a holiday, whether it be just a craving that gets the better of me, whether it be whatever. And I succumb to it and I have it. Then the thought comes to me, well, you're already messed up now, you might as well keep going. And so it goes from that one thing to this, now I've fallen into this ditch. And I've convinced myself that because I made that one mistake, that it doesn't matter anymore. Might as well just keep going. That is a ploy from the enemy to keep us down. That is spiritual warfare. Now, how I know that is a ploy from the enemy, because as I bring up this verse a lot on this show, it's near and dear to me. Philippians 3:13 says, I may not have achieved everything, but I know this, I press forward towards the mark, which is Jesus, saying, hey man, I know I done messed up. I know I done did some foul things. I know I done did people wrong. I know I done made some bad decisions. I know I have succumbed to things that I shouldn't succumb to. I know that I have backslidden. I know that I have done all these things, but I know this one thing. When I do it, I get up and I press forward towards Jesus. That is why in the Bible, in Romans, says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Jesus isn't sitting there being like, man, I cannot believe that you did that again. You idiot. I can't mess with you no more. Jesus isn't doing that. So if you hear that after you messed up, that ain't Jesus. That's your personal hitch in your ear, trying to get you to continue down the path, getting you to damn yourself because you made a mistake. And anybody, if you know, Jesus went to the cross for all mistakes, not just some, for all mistakes. Again, not giving license. What's good, James? What's up, man? Not given license for us to sin repetitively, but giving us the comfort of knowing that we're not condemned for the mistakes we're going to make. And when I said Jesus went to the cross for mistakes, he went to the cross for mistakes that have happened, that are happening, and that will happen, because we are flawed individuals, we are imperfect, and we're going to mess up. It's what it is. We're going to mess up. It doesn't mean it's going to be a huge mistake all the time. It doesn't mean that, you know, oh man, my life is over, I just did this again. Or it doesn't mean that it's going to be grandiose. It could be small things. I keep using stuff like junk food to deliver that point, to drive home that point. It could be something like that. But in that example that I used, when it comes to the junk food and how once I fall off, I go delve back in, it is those ploys that get me to continue down that path. So now one mistake has turned into months of mistakes. So now I've completely abandoned my path towards eating better because I have compiled, you messed up. And now my focus is on that. So I can't press forward because I've convinced myself that I don't deserve to press forward. I've been convinced that that my mistakes define who I am. And because I've let my mistakes define who I am, I'm looking in the rearview mirror instead of looking. And I've used that as I'm driving right now. If I looked in this rearview mirror the whole time I drove, I would have been in an accident already. But that is the strategy. The strategy is to get us to focus on this rearview mirror and not this windshield. That's the purpose. Our past shouldn't define us. Our past should be what we our past should cause growth, reflection and growth, not definition. Because there's another thing that says, I may have done the things that they say I've done, but I'm not who they say I am. I'm not going to let that be me. I'm purposely staying on lesser things as not to make it overly serious, touch a nerve, I don't know. But if I let my past define who I am personally, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing right now. Because my past told me that I was not worthy to be speaking on God's behalf. My past told me that I was unworthy to give people advice on pressing forward, because who are you? You know, and I don't just air my dirty laundry on here, but. So everything that I've done in my past is not documented on here. A lot of it is, and those things that I have said and acknowledged, and those I haven't, have been brought to my attention as, see, this is why you shouldn't be doing this. You ought to be ashamed of yourself for even trying. What's wrong with you? If you do this, people are going to bring up your past and say, who are you to tell me anything? Which leads me to another strategy the enemy uses. Condemnation. I will say this. I stand by this. I believe this. Do not throw people's past in their face. If you got someone trying to move forward in their life, it is detrimental to growth to throw people's past in their face. That is a strategy of the enemy, though, to keep you in the past. I mean, if I didn't move forward, I would still be thinking as an adolescent. Let's just call it that, you know, to make it be whatever. If I being a 43-year-old man, lived in the past, I would still be thinking as an adolescent child and not able to function as a family man, not able to function as a working man, not able to function as a man, period, because I am stuck on who I was and I can't get past that. So now I'm just like, okay, we grow up. But we allow the enemy to stunt our growth because we started paying attention to these strategies. We start studying these strategies. We start meditating on these strategies. We start accepting these strategies. We start owning these strategies. And now it's no longer the enemy doing anything. Now the enemy is just like, gone. All right, I can step off. This fool gonna destroy himself. That's the point. So, in closing, if you are having a day, a week, a month, 6 months, a year, where it's just constant, you are under attack. And I've just given you some of the strategies he has. And I hope that those strategies being brought to light will help you. Now, I'm going to end on that because next week, which may be the last one to this, not sure yet, we're going to talk about the fight. I've given you the strategies, and on some levels I've kind of given you the fight, but I'm going to delve more into that fight. So come back next week. I pray that what I've addressed doesn't, it's not the that seed that is on the ground that doesn't get a chance to grow and the enemy is able to snatch up. Because I promise you, there's a reason I'm doing this series, by the way. There is a reason for it. It is evident that is going on in my life. It is evident that it's going on in other people's that I'm watching life. And so there's the reason for this series. My prayer is that those under the sound of my voice are paying attention to it. And that this is an encouragement piece, a growth piece. And on that note, I'm going to end it. Y'all have a blessed day. I'll see you next week. Love you. Peace.